Psalm 117. The psalmist writes there, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active and a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. Might that be true now? Please speak through your servant Chris as he comes to declare your word and preach to us. And may we grow closer to you and know you better. May we be challenged, just as you have determined we should be, each one of us, from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Chris.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. I'm sorry I ignored you over there. I'll turn this round so I can see everybody over there as well. Lovely to see you. And thank you for those of you who've welcomed me, looked after me, and cared for me over the past 48 hours. It's been great to be with you. It's one of the great privileges of being a Christian. You may have discovered this if you're a Christian yourself, that you go to a different part of the country or even a different country altogether, and you discover that when you land up with Christians, you're among family and you're among friends. So thank you for being hospitable as to another member of the family over the past 48 hours. And since we're among friends, and since we're family, and since we're all united in what we've just sung and prayed, let's talk Brexit, shall we? It's difficult, isn't it? Have you spotted that? How do you broach the subject of Brexit with your colleagues at work, with your do you sidle up carefully and maybe exchange a secret handshake to see if they share the same views as you, or if they've changed it? It's tricky. I can't remember a time when our country has been more divided and more tense over those divisions. And one of the questions that will face us as a country in the next 10 years or so is, how do we pull ourselves together again? What unites us? What holds us together as a country, given our diverse backgrounds, the cultures, the languages, even in a group the size of City this morning? What holds us together? I think maybe my parents, but certainly my grandparents' generations would have said one of the things that holds us together is a sense of being a Christian nation. Not everybody was a Christian, not everybody claims to be a Christian, but there was a common sense of Christian values, a common sense of being Christian that kind of tied people together. That is no longer true. Where you find Christians, we're quite often, again, in the margins, and a little bit like Brexit, we sort of exchange secret handshakes at work to admit that we are Christians. And yes, I'm a Christian and you're a Christian and we're both teachers in this school. We're both medics in this hospital. And we've got to navigate a way through a difficult time. What would hold us together? What would bind us together as a nation? And not just England, not just Britain, but whichever country we come from, whichever countries we end up living in the future, what would hold us together? I want to make an outrageously big claim, which is that little song we just read out, Psalm 117, contains what it will mean to bring us all together. Now, it's outrageous because that is one of the shortest songs in the Old Testament, one of the shortest psalms. And in fact, Jonathan's, as it was being read, Jonathan laughed next to me and said, "It is short, isn't it?" I thought, "Yes, it is, but it makes more time for me to speak." But there's something buried in here which, when you see it, changes your mind about what would bring us together. Now, when you first look at it, you might think, well, really, what is there in this psalm? Forgive me if you're not used to reading the Bible, but if you're the kind of person who reads the Bible, you look at this and you sort of pull it apart a little bit and see what's there. And it looks fairly obvious at first, doesn't it? On the surface, what am I supposed to do? Three questions. What am I supposed to do? Number one, I'm supposed to praise the Lord. That's how it begins. Praise the Lord. And it ends with the words, praise the Lord. And if you look little down with a little footnote, that behind that is the Hebrew phrase hallelujah, which we still use today. So what am I supposed to do? Praise the Lord. Number two, who am I supposed to praise? Not just anyone. I am supposed to praise the Lord. It really is emphasized. It's putting capital letters for us, isn't it? Praise the Lord, verse 1. Praise the Lord, verse 2. And if you know that your Bible, you know that when the word Lord is in capital letters, that's a particular name of God. So it really is identifying who this God, who God is. And what am I supposed to praise him for? That's the third question. Well, I'm supposed to praise him. It says twice the things we're supposed to do. We're given the reason. Verse 2 begins, for, and then here are the two reasons. Number one, great is his love towards us. And number two, his faithfulness. So there you are, very simple. What am I supposed to do? Praise. Who am I supposed to praise? The Lord. And what am I supposed to praise him for? His love and his faithfulness. That's true. That's true. If you go to sleep now, you haven't learnt anything false. And you've gone home with a complete little message, which is entirely true. And it's very powerful. It's false, but it's not finished. There's something in here we need to see. There's no danger in what we've just learned, but there's something else that we need to see. It's the major shock. And when you see the major shock, you'll see that it rebalances all those three. Puts them on a slightly different basis. You know, when you're flying somewhere, you go through that thing. I had a holiday in Italy a couple of weeks ago, and you have that thing when you break through the clouds and it becomes sunlight, and suddenly you think it's getting very quiet in here, you know, because your ears have kind of done that thing with the pressure, and you try to blow your nose or pop your ears or whatever you try, and suddenly it goes clear. And you can hear stuff that you couldn't hear before. You know that kind of feeling when it finally works? So it is with the psalm. When you see what he's talking about, when you see the thing that's buried in here, your ears will pop and you'll think, oh, I've never seen that before. Gosh, that really is quite an important idea. What are we supposed to look at then? Well, look with me at the pronouns. Sorry about the grammar, but look with me at the pronouns. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us. Now, who's the us here? The us here is the Old Testament people of God, Israel, the Jews. And who are the you here? The you here is the rest of humanity, everybody else who isn't Jewish, the Gentiles, people like my family, people like many of your family. So there's an us and a you. Us who are the Jews, you who are the Gentiles. Goes right back to God speaking to that great leader Abraham, introducing the sign of circumcision, which marked out God's people as his own. A fundamental division, which from then on becomes some of humanity and most of humanity. Big division. At which point our skeptical 21st century friends, or maybe your skeptical little voice in your head, says, you see, that's exactly the problem. Religion is fundamentally divisive. Religion takes one group of people from a different group of people. It's based on a racial grouping, and it reinforces that racial grouping. It is divisive and it is exclusive. And if we want to have, so our skeptical friends say, if we want to have a fundamentally united society, what we will need to have is a safe, secular space. A secular space where there is no religion, because there will be nothing that will divide. And so the argument goes, to have a good, safe, common life, we need to remove religion from the public square. There's a church leader in Manhattan, Timothy Keller. Some of you will be aware of his books. And he's thinking, well, Keller says, he was there at the time of 9/11 when the planes went into the Twin Towers. And Keller said he can, before the planes hit the Twin Towers in Manhattan, the general view of the people around about him who weren't Christians were that all religions were equally false. After 9/11, when there was a huge shockwave went through the country, and there were all sorts of services and memorial events and so on, Keller says the mood changed. And for a brief period, all religions were equally valuable. Not true. It wasn't a truth collecting. It went from all religions are false to all religions are valuable. But that changed very quickly. And he said, from that moment on up till today, the general view in skeptical Manhattan is all religions are equally dangerous. Because religions divide and reinforce that division. And the only way to be safe is to have a secular space. What's the answer? You've probably heard the view, because it's a fairly common one. What's the answer? Well, one answer I want to give to it, one response, there's many we could give, one response is from within this psalm. And look with me again at this psalm, because it actually has much more to say than we've said. Yes, there is a you-us divide in this psalm. But watch. Who is the psalm addressed to? Not addressed to God. There are psalms that are addressed to God. Psalm 116 is addressed to God. The Lord is full of gracious and mercy. Praise the Lord. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you as a psalm addressed to God. And there are other psalms which are addressed to God's people. Psalm 118, cast your eye down. Let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say. So, there are psalms that are addressed to God's people. Psalm 117 isn't one of those either. Psalm 117 is addressed to Gentiles. Psalm 117 is addressed to those who aren't Jewish. And it says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. It's a psalm of inclusion. It's a psalm of invitation. It's a come on in psalm. It's a join us psalm. The whole world. And it's the opposite of exclusion. So Gentiles like me are invited to praise the Lord. Now, what am I invited to praise the Lord for? Well, says the psalmist, because of his goodness towards us who are Jews. Gentiles get to praise God not because he's been good to us as Gentiles, not because he's been generous into creation, though that's true. Gentiles get to praise God because he's been good to Israel. That's the ear pop moment. I'm supposed to praise God because he's been good to you as a Gentile. And it's all to do with who God is. What are we told about him in the psalm? He is the Lord, that little word in capital letters. That is God's promise name, his covenant name. Sometimes call it Yahweh. It's built into the word hallelujah, give thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord for his promise-making, promise-keeping nature. Praise the Lord for his love, which means he maintains those promises. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness, which means his promises are attended to for eternity. They're all saying the same thing. And what are they? Those promises, that faithfulness, that love, is telling the same Bible story all the way through. You see, when God took Abraham and he introduced the sign of circumcision, marking God's people out from the rest of humanity, it was so that God's people would bless the rest of humanity. All nations will be blessed through you, is what God said to Abraham. His plan was never to exclude. His plan was always to do something global and extraordinary. And just like if you've got a small child and you know they throw a ball and it bounces, bump, boing, 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 down the stairs. We spent hours with our eldest Ed, when he was small, he used to love sitting at the top of the stairs, and we'd be at the bottom, and he'd take a ball, and he'd bounce it down the stairs. Boink, 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 boink. And he'd reach the bottom, and he'd pick the ball up, and he'd take it to the top. Hours of this thing. Boink, 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 the ball's going down. And so it is in the Bible. The ball goes boink, 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 boink. So God makes that promise to Abraham. And you can watch the ball bouncing through it. Very obvious at some places. When Solomon dedicates the temple, it will be a house of prayer for all nations, people all over the world. And then as that picture expands through the Old Testament, it becomes clear that it's not just a physical temple. It's what that temple represents. God's presence will be a house of prayer for all nations. Come through the prophets. Or take another line that comes through from Abraham. He's told that he will have a son, and that son will be the one through whom the promise will be fulfilled. Again, boink, 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 boink. That story runs through the Old Testament. Pops up with someone like King David, who's very clearly the promised son, but an imperfect one. But even in the life of King David and his son, King Solomon, there's something global going on. They attract people from other places, other nations. I mean, the story of the Queen of Sheba coming. She'd heard about Solomon and his great wisdom. She comes, she's attracted to God's promise. Because God's promise to God's people is never just locked into that one nation. It's also always supposed to have some kind of global outcome. So, we've got two little arcs going through. One is the inclusion of the Gentiles. The other is God's faithfulness to his promise, that he will bring this to pass somehow. And of course, you know that they meet gloriously in the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul explains to us that when Jesus died on the cross, one of the fundamental acts he does is he breaks down the dividing wall of hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. One of the first acts of the cross is to produce interracial peace and harmony. Isn't that extraordinary? One of the first acts of the cross is to produce interracial peace and harmony, with the dividing wall of hostility being knocked down. And so, the good news of Jesus, the gospel, must have, by its own logic, must have a global reach. Because if that dividing wall has been knocked down, there is no other dividing wall that counts. Nothing else of any significance divides person from person once that wall has gone down. And so, boink, 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 the ball comes down to us here today. And just look around. Think about the family backgrounds. Think about the cultures, the races, the language represented here today. It's a fulfillment of Psalm 117. Before your very eyes, you are a fulfillment of Psalm 117. That's an extraordinary thought 2,000 years later. So here's an invitation to me and an invitation to many of us. Come and praise the Lord for his faithfulness to Abraham and Abraham's children, because his faithfulness means that a Gentile like me can get included in the promises. It's fundamentally unifying, fundamentally non-racial, fundamentally invitational. Come and join us, is what the psalm says. Anybody on the planet, come and join us. You see, when sociologists do those kind of analyses of cultures, and they say, what do all cultures have in common? There are various things that pop up. All cultures seem to have some kind of funeral rite. All cultures seem to have some sense of justice. But one thing that all cultures seem to need to have is a praise element. Everybody seems to need to praise something or someone. It's deeply built into us. The trouble is, we praise different things.
I was asked yesterday, Jonathan gave me one of those sort of either or quizzes, and one of them was Marvel or DC. I have no idea. I don't do those films. A bunch of our church went off to see Avengers the other day. I promptly sacked any that were on the staff. I don't get it. I don't understand. For me, Avengers means John Peel and John Steed and Mrs. Peel. They're praising something, and it leaves me out in the cold. Flip it round. I was trying to explain to one of that same team, the one who'd been to see the movie, I was trying to explain to him about a book group that I'm part of that goes out of our local Oxfam shop. And we were reading a book by an American author, Philip Roth, and I was trying to explain to him why we admired Philip Roth and why he was such a good writer, and the astonishing way that he puts paragraphs together and the way he makes the words spin. And I could see that the eyes were coming down on Mark's face, much like they are for many of you. Because I'm praising something that means nothing to you. So your praise of the Avengers film divides you from me. My praise of Philip Roth divides me from you. Praise divides. Unless we can all praise the same thing. Unless we can all praise the same person. Unless there is one unifying person to worship. For all cultures, for all peoples, for all nations, races, tongues. And we don't need to guess or fill in the blanks, do we? It's all here for us in Psalm 117. One story follows all the way through, and it includes people like us. So what do we do? Well, I want to suggest there are three things that come out of the psalm. There may be others, but I want to suggest three things. And like Eurovision, we'll do them in reverse order. Okay? So number three is the third thing to do with the psalm. We need to encourage one another in quite isolated and individualist times. I was preparing this talk in our local Cafe Nero. And I looked up as I was scribbling some stuff on a page. There were eight people in my sight line, six of whom were looking at screens. It's curious, isn't it? They had come together for a sense of community in the cafe, but actually they were fleeing from each other in the fact they were all looking at the individual screens in front of them. In fact, I mean, I've got my iPhone down there. Even the word iPhone fights itself. Have you spotted that? What does phone mean? Phone means communication. What does I mean? Me. Other people phone me, my screen, my phone. Don't come close. We're in individualist times. We're all in one place, but we're in separate headspaces. Psalm 117 says God's intentional plan is to bring people together. All those wonderful promises in the Old Testament come right down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, just as they have come right down to him, and his death and resurrection, so they flow out again to the entire world, to where we are today, to bring people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. City, then, City Church, you're no mere club. You're no mere group of like-minded people who happen to come together on Sunday mornings because you've got nothing better to do. City is a place for conversion. City is a place for baptisms. City is a place for life change. But you do it together. You do it in community. In isolated times. That's what the psalm says. Second thing. We need to encourage one another. And this will be hard for some of us. We need to encourage one another to kill all our past hatreds and our inherited histories. Now this again is in the psalm. Look again. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. Who's our psalm writer talking to? Who are the nations? They're the Egyptians who held them captive as slaves for 400 years. And the psalmist is saying, come on in. the Philistines who nibbled away at their nation for centuries. The psalm writer says, come on, come and worship with us. The Assyrians, who would take 10 of the 12 tribes into captivity, never seen again. The psalm writer says, come on, come and worship with us. The Babylonians, who took the remaining 2 tribes into captivity in Babylon, 70 years in exile. And the psalm writer says, you too, you can come on, come on. Worship the Lord with us because of his faithfulness and his promises to include the whole world in his salvation plan. Bonk, 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 down the centuries. Last Sunday, I met a new family who are joining St. James. And I said to them, because I couldn't quite place it, I said to them, where's your accent from? The Ukraine. We've come from the Ukraine. Lovely. Maybe a little cheer in the room here. Come from the Ukraine. And a little spark went off in my brain because I thought, you know, 4 weeks ago I met somebody else who's new to St. James and she's Russian. Okay, that's interesting. That isn't a racial or historical thing I was expecting to explode in St. James's Church, but somehow we've got to kill that issue, which is live 21st century front page headline news. We've got to kill that tension within St. James. Praise the Lord, all the nations. Now, let's be clear. This is not just forgive and forget. This is not just let the past be past. Egypt, Philistia, Babylon, Russia, Ukraine. They've got to say, okay, Israel, you were right, we were wrong. The Lord is right, we were wrong, we rebelled. Your Lord is true, ours are idols. His promises are faithful, ours are false. And we'd want to say in Bible terms, it's not just a matter of believing, there's repenting going on here too. These nations come, but it's on God's terms, in line with his promises, his ways. And the place where they meet is the place where they all say, Jesus was right, I was wrong, I repent and believe, will you repent and believe with me? Will you praise him for his goodness? So the third thing is to encourage one another in isolated times. The second thing is to encourage one another to put our past hatreds and histories to death and believe gospel. What's the first thing, the most important thing, the fundamental thing? To do as the psalm says. Praise the Lord. That's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. We began there, didn't we? It was the first lesson we spotted from the psalm, and it's still true, but think how much more we have seen. We praise the Lord because I, as a Gentile, get to be included in the covenant because of God's love and faithfulness. Praise the Lord that the promise to Abraham led to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and led to the Great Commission to reach the world for Jesus, which led to City Church being started. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. That his faithfulness and his promise to one man, Abraham, led to the entire world pointing towards him in praise. So, friends, think it through. If you are from a Jewish family, then praise God for his provision and his promise of a descendant to Abraham. Praise him that he faithfully kept that promise right up to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him for being part of the family bearers of God's global gospel. And if you're from a Gentile family, praise the Lord, that same Lord, for the privilege of being adopted into the descendants of Abraham. Praise the Lord for the privilege that he kept his covenant through the death and resurrection of Jesus so that we could be on the receiving end of those promises. Praise God that we are the recipients of that global gospel. Let's pray together as we sit. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we have seen this morning about the reasons why we can and should praise you. That these are not just ideas hanging in space, but they're anchored in your promises and anchored in the way you kept each and every one of those promises. Thank you that we, as representatives of so many nations, can praise you for your faithfulness to Abraham and his descendants because of the way you kept it through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your love. And we praise you that those are for all nations. And we praise you that they will endure forever.